My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Colin Jeffries and Eric Reed host a great podcast called the Rethink Marketing Podcast. Colin, tell us what these fine folks will get out of listening.
Well, Jason, on the Rethink Marketing Podcast, we unpack the myths, misconceptions, and flat-out lies of marketing and sales. Our listeners tell us that we help bring different perspectives to common business growth, wisdom, and advice.
That's great. Where can people subscribe?
They can subscribe at RethinkMarketingPodcast.com or listen on their favorite podcast platform, including MarketingPodcasts.net.
You heard him. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Rob Simone.
I think there's a tremendous amount of, especially during what happened when everyone went home during COVID, there's an increasing demand for digital content. But we've found that a lot of marketers on the client side found themselves trying to make sense of all the changes and frankly needed support. It opened up the door for nimble teams like ours to really come in and say, we're here and we can start moving today.
Based in Long Island, Rob Simone is partner and president at Summer Friday, a strategy, creative, and content boutique that thrives at the intersection of big ideas and nimble execution. Simone co-founded Summer Friday in April 2020, right at the peak of the pandemic. His clients include major brands such as E-Trade, National Grid, Cigna, and JP Morgan. Since its founding, the agency hasn't lost a single client, has retained its talent base, and has expanded business on every level. Rob, welcome to On Brand.
Hey, Nick. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
You know, anytime I have a guest from an agency, and I feel like there are two categories of agency names. There's, mm-hmm. you know, there's Westergaard, and Westergaard. or there's one with a zany, interesting name that prompts what has to be my first question, which is why Summer Friday? Because even when you were first getting pitched as a guest, for a moment, I thought, you can quote my ignorance on this, that Summer Friday was another person in the business. That it was Rob Simone and Summer Friday. And we were going back and forth on scheduling. And they said that works for Rob and Summer Friday. And I thought, wait, well, is Summer Friday someone else?
Well, first off, I appreciate the fact that you're interviewing all the Robs in the branding business. And Rob Meyerson, your last guest, would be very disappointed if you named your agency Westergaard. Yeah. Just from a traditional branding science standpoint. But to your main question, Summer Friday is not a person. And the real reason why we went with that name is just the ethos of it. I mean, who doesn't love a Summer Friday? And if you find yourself naming a company today, right? So 2 years ago, 2020, finding a name that you love that isn't taken or too close or too reminiscent of someone else's website, et cetera, is a really difficult task. You have to get very creative with how you create a digital presence. But we kind of just landed on this name. And to be honest with you, my wife was the the impetus for the shortlist that got us to Summer Friday. But when we started to talk to people about it and just do our own little focus group around it, it just had the right cultural fit, had the right feel, and everyone just loved it from the start.
That's a fascinating story. And again, I think you're highlighting that I may have missed my own calling, my own branding for this podcast, which is the only Rob's on branding. So maybe this will have to be a kind of a subcategory, an ongoing series of Rob's on branding. But I love to hearken back to that other Rob, because that's an interesting approach and in terms of getting there, in terms of speaking to that culture. Because once you said that right away, and I think one of your very first points, once you did explain the meaning, was because who doesn't love? And absolutely right. And yeah, instead of I work at Westergaard and Westergaard, which I'm going to have to go find some other Westergaards in order to do that. But what does that say, other than that there's a lot of Westergaards there? But now that I know that about you, it tells me something about not only who you are, but how you do what you do. And who doesn't love a Summer Friday, but also who wouldn't want to be in business with a Summer Friday?
Well, I love that. And I think that's certainly what we're going for. I also think that there's something to say that there is quite a bit that needs to be fixed when it comes to agency, and I would just say the corporate culture in general, given all the changes that we've had the last couple of years. But even prior to that, I mean, there's just a ton of turnover and potential toxicity that exists within company cultures. And we just, having a fresh start in 2020, we just made culture and that ethos and the vibe a really prominent part of what we were building. And we kind of said to ourselves, you know, people who we want to work with that react well to the idea of Summer Friday, not just the name, but kind of how we do what we do and who we have on our team, because the people who get that are going to be the best partners for us. And people who don't, you know, it's just, if it's not a good chemical fit, it's not a good chemical fit. And to that respect, you know, we are a boutique. We intend to stay as a boutique. We have no real aspirations to become a large agency, a large global agency. We're roughly 35 talented creative team members who serve about 20 to 25 clients. And that's a size we'd like to stay at, relatively speaking, for the long term.
So I want to talk more about both things that you just mentioned. Starting a business in the pandemic would not be on a thing that would feel like a Summer Friday, the lowercase s summer. But we'll talk about that in a bit, because I want you to say more about what you were just talking about, because especially the business of agencies, certainly even before the pandemic, has been disrupted by things digital, and it does bring some, you alluded to this a bit, of some kind of toxicity and some challenges, some baggage. So in looking at this, and again, prior to the pandemic piece of that, but why an agency now?
Well, I think there's a tremendous amount of especially during what happened when everyone went home during COVID, there's an increasing demand for digital content. But we've found that a lot of marketers on the client side found themselves trying to make sense of all the changes and frankly needed support. It opened up the door for nimble teams like ours to really come in and say, we're here and we can start moving today. And you know, our positioning, this idea that we created, which is that we thrive at the intersection of big ideas and nimble execution, came out of the best client relationships that we had, which is that we realized that our partners wanted an agency that was good at creating foundational brand and campaign concepts, but that it could also activate with a lot of resiliency and be nimble at any given time. And that if you could be a little bit of both of those, you would be answering the call to what our clients really wanted. So from a capabilities standpoint, from a team standpoint, we built the walls of this company around that. I definitely didn't go into the founding of Summer Friday with my partners thinking it was going to be a great time and a cakewalk to kind of to do all of that. But the cards, you know, were dealt that way, and we found ourselves building something right in the midst of it. And I would say very quickly, less than 2 weeks into that journey, what started as something a little bit tumultuous turned into the best thing that's ever happened to us. Literally, quite literally, once the bandaid had been ripped off, we found ourselves in a much more passionate, much more meaningful, happy a place that we could never have expected to find ourselves. And additionally, we found ourselves in a new business onslaught. Like, there was just so much more demand than we expected from brands looking for partners. And you know, and we started harvesting the best cultural and capabilities fits that we could in that space, and found ourselves growing quite rapidly to where we are now.
So in the world of marketing, that intersection that you described between big ideas and execution is something that many are after, both from an agency, both from their own internal teams. But that's a lift. Talk more about what that intersection looks like and how we connect those dots between strategy and execution that we talk a lot about, but can be elusive to actually put together.
Well, for us, it happened backwards. You know, I started as an entrepreneur in the content, primarily in the digital video space back in 2006, after spending, you know, a few years making TV spots at the, you know, the big Madison Avenue agencies. I worked at Gray and BBDO and some others, and came out of that starting with my partner, Michael Cruz, who's still my partner 16 some odd years later, starting a video content agency. So we started seeing execution as the real way forward, like being nimble executors, being publishers, as something that was going to become very important. You'd have to put yourself back in the mindset of when YouTube was new and when Facebook was new to really, you know, understand what that was all like at that time. But it was very early days for content. And so we started in that space and kind of backward engineered this idea of being really effective in that intersection. Whereas other agencies have done the opposite. They started as big brand agencies, really great brand agencies that tried to tack on production companies or content studios or publisher mindsets, either through M&A activity or through some sort of an incubator or startup or just hiring practices. And I think that's really hard to do. I think it's really hard to take a big culture, a big agency culture, or even a mid-sized agency culture, and retrain it and recalibrate it to work the way like a publisher does, the way like a Vice or a Refinery 29 or or even a news team operates with that type of resiliency and malleability and everything that makes it possible to make personalized content across an entire customer journey very, very quickly. So because we had already developed a core team that was used to that and had grown up like that, sort of growing and maturing and acquiring the talent that could help us with the deep experience with respect to strategy development, branding experience, communication strategy, all of those things, research, that was much easier to inject into the team than the former. And I think that was a huge, huge help for us. And I will also say, I really think that the idea of being a boutique is essential in this space. Once you get to a certain size, it becomes really difficult to manage both culturally and just sort of the rhythm of the company without over-engineering things. You have to do less. In other words, we're not a full-service agency, right? It'd be very difficult to be nimble if we were providing everything from research through to results, right? Performance marketing, data analytics, all of those things. We do a much smaller subset of capabilities, and we do that better. And we have a mentality around nimbleness, whereby when we do that, we try to do it in a real world environment, which is ultimately what our clients want. When you talk to clients now, they don't want to talk to account people. They want to talk to strategists. They want to talk to the people who solve the problems. And so we're just constantly looking at Summer Friday and looking at our org chart and looking at our team and removing anything that stands in the way of getting from, a brief to an idea. And of course, never really sacrificing any of those things that are essential to that. And so, hurrying up, but slowing down when it makes sense.
On Brand, we'll be right back after this.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Colin Jeffries and Eric Reed host a great podcast called the Rethink Marketing Podcast. Colin, tell us what these fine folks will get out of listening.
Well, Jason, on the Rethink Marketing Podcast, we unpack the myths, misconceptions, and flat-out lies of marketing and sales. Our listeners tell us that we help bring different perspectives to common business growth, wisdom, and advice.
That's great. Where can people subscribe?
They can subscribe at RethinkMarketingPodcast.com or listen on their favorite podcast platform, including MarketingPodcasts.net.
You heard him. Go subscribe.
Now, back to the show. So I want to return to the other topic at the heart of your work beyond building an agency, and it makes me think of the Abraham Lincoln quote, because it's the stormy present that we find ourselves in here right now. But of your many accomplishments, you noted in there, and beyond the agency. Marketing focus is that you've retained your talent base. I mean, I think it's really, really remarkable that you've not only built a business at one of the hardest times, and a reminder, that was April 2020, that if you all check your calendars, there was some big stuff going on around then. But retaining your talent base, I mean, I think, gosh, pick a headline. It's tricky for McDonald's, but I know that lots of across all organizations, but I know many marketing organizations that I talk to. So talk a little bit about keeping marketers happy today.
Well, I think first I'm humbled by the fact that, before Summer Friday, I've had the pleasure of working with some of the same team members for over 12 years. My partners aside, people that that joined me as young content producer, young marketers, when we started that first company, a company called Hiccup back in 2006, are still with me today. And we're towing the line between team and family in a lot of ways. But I think, you know, in rethinking what a company culture should look like when we founded Summer Friday in 2020, I thought a lot about UVP. I looked out at the world and the competitive set, and I said, you look at all the agencies, you look at all the creative shops, you look at all the companies in America, and their unique value prop is outward facing. It's essentially looking out at the world and who their target audience is, their customers are, and they're saying, hey, customer, or hey, client, you know, you should work with us because we are the best at XYZ. We're the best technology, we have the best creative, we have the fastest this. It's always, you know, a new business-focused UVP. And I said, well, look, if we re-engineer the idea of UVP and we focus on our UVP being applicable to the people who work for us first, not our clients first, and we turn that into something that it attracts our team. So in other words, with Summer Friday, you know, our UVP is that we put culture above all. And so when we make that our priority before our clients, sorry, clients, apologize in advance, but the idea is that we create happier, more passionate, secure, healthy, loyal team members who really love what they're doing. They really love the clients they're working with. They love the company that they're at, and they're staying. And as a result, all of that positivity, all of that loyalty, all of that passion passes directly on to our clients. And they feel it, right? They talk about it. They give feedback on it. They see consistency. They have the same people working on their businesses who understand their products and businesses for a long time. And you can tell when people love what they do. So the theory is that that is a cyclical thing. You focus on team first, and then you and that transfers onto clients. And we're just combating this repeat episode that keeps playing, where you see companies in America stand up at town halls, you know, CEOs or presidents or whoever, and they say, you know, what's our biggest asset? Oh, it's our people. And then when bad things happen, the first thing they do is they throw those assets out, right? They lay people off. And I understand, like, there are catastrophic things that happen. Like, I'm not here saying that, you know, that's not necessary sometimes, unfortunate as it is. But you've got to reframe your view of your talent and really treat them like assets versus literally a liability, which is how personnel are represented on a balance sheet at most companies. And it takes a lot to re-engineer your company. When you do, I think it pays huge dividends.
So beyond culture, talk a bit about skills. I think earlier the kind of definitions you gave us and the importance of establishing those, of you know, we sometimes hear these terms, these labels tossed around. It's helpful to talk about, as you did, what a boutique agency is, what a full service agency is, research to results. But when it comes to individual employees, this is another challenge I see, is who to look for. Because I feel like we were in this window of time where it was really important to find specialists. And I feel like now we're hearing more about generalists in marketing. So what's the balance there?
Oh, man. I, you know what's funny about specialist versus generalist? It's like you could pull a list each day to, you know, the five things that every business person should read today, or every entrepreneur should read today. Like, the first thing we'll talk about how you've got to be a specialist, and the second thing we'll talk about how generalists are succeeding. So it's kind of like trying to time the stock market at the moment. But I think, I think you start when you evaluate people that you want. Obviously, your people are interviewing with you, or you're finding talented people because you know, you're looking for something specific, you know, a strategist, a creative, so forth. But when you look at the person first and the skill second, you know, think about if you were invited to lunch with your cousin and your cousin introduced you to somebody, you have to meet, you know, Billy, he's amazing. You know, and I know you don't have an open job, but you should meet Billy. How many times has this happened, right? And you meet that person without having to fill a role, and you genuinely like them. Maybe you like the way they think, maybe you like their attitude, maybe they just have interesting ideas. What starts to happen for business owners or for entrepreneurs or managers is they take that and they say, like, where could I fit this person in? Versus, I have a need, and I need to find somebody. Imagine how successful your relationship with talent can be if you want them to work for you, even though you don't have a role for them. So I think that's a really interesting paradigm when you're looking for talent, is that you shift it to looking at the person, how they think, how they work, how they communicate, before thinking of them as, you know, an art director or, you know, as a copywriter or as a strategist within financial services or whatever. And that'll ultimately be a better cultural fit for the company. But there's no doubt when you analyze this, like, there are times when you need people who have specific skills. It gets harder for agencies who are in tech or are in performance media or analytics and data, because then you really need specialists. I'm fortunate to, you know, to run a creative shop where specialization on our level generally refers to, you know, a creative talent's experience within a specific vertical. And nowadays, that's a big deal. You know, we work with a lot of financial clients. So what do our clients really love when we're meeting them for the first time or when we're starting to work on their business? They love an agency that already understands the ins and outs of their products, compliance, things like that, and they don't want to teach that to you. So when you can speak their language from the onset, the whole relationship is different and it becomes a partnership. It feels way more in sync. That's becoming even more so the case as we begin to work with brands who are maturing in the crypto and blockchain space, Web3 in general. And so, you know, specific expertise for us, generally, I'm encouraging my people to become experts within product and vertical so that they can bring ideas with the background and knowledge that, you know, the next agency or the next team is lacking.
You know, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said, yeah, the first two articles you see bring this contradiction to the forefront. And even as you were talking through that, I had an existential crisis of my own sitting here thinking, what am I? And I think, you know, to that very point, I think I started out a generalist, became more of a specialist, and then kind of expanded back out to a generalist again. So there's a cyclicality to it also. And I think,
can totally relate to that. I think that's exactly right. And I think that's a normal kind of trajectory for a lot of people. You know, you start early on in a field not knowing what the heck you want to do. So you dive in, right? Your dad says, get a job or whatever happens. And then, you know, you especially at an agency, you have to find a track. If you're at a big company, are you going to be in the production department? Are you going to be in the accounts department, the creative department? And you have to specialize because no one knows what to do with you. The world wants to put you in a bucket. It still happens today. You know, if you're an agency and a client gives you the ability to pitch capabilities and there's no expectation for the meeting, you just start talking. Hey, we want to meet Summer Friday. Great. They immediately try to put you in a bucket. So, you know, whatever you say in those first few moments, they want to say, oh, got it. This is a video agency. So they can make sense of it. But it's often more complicated than that. So you do generalize over time.
Well, Rob, you have made me smile several times throughout this conversation. I'm going to ask you to do it once again for the brand that has made you smile recently.
Oh, well, I think I have an interesting answer for you on this one. And this is a someone's personal brand, which obviously, you know, the world of branding today, people are building personal brands that are amazing. But I smiled a big yesterday, and I've smiled many times in the past, seeing what the chef Jose Andreas is doing right now. Yes. This is a guy who, and I consider him to be a brand because he's busy as hell showing up every single time somebody in need needs a meal real bad. And just bringing joy and happiness to the world in his own little Mother Teresa kind of way. And I just read an article yesterday about him showing up in Ukraine and just starting to cook for people. And, you know, we saw him in Puerto Rico when a massive hurricane, we saw him in Haiti after the earthquakes. Mm-hmm. Like, this guy is busy all the time. And I just thought, like, as a brand, like, so if you want to think selfishly from a business standpoint, like, who doesn't want to eat at that guy's restaurant when you know who's behind that, how much love is in that kitchen. So I was just blown away by that. And that's just amazing to me.
Absolutely. And extra points for being a culinary personal brand, because that is a passion of mine. I'm currently 3/4 of the way through a Julia Child autobiography, but, Jose Andres, he's, like you said, wouldn't want to eat in his restaurant. Every time he pops up like that, I just outed myself for being a sucker for books and cookbooks. It's like I see something like that and I want to go buy something. I mean, that's obviously not why he's doing it. That's not why we're calling it out. But it is it communicates connection in such a powerful way. So.
If you can have that level of authenticity in your brand, yeah. I mean, he's obviously a wonderful human being, but if you can have your brand strategy have that level of authenticity, I mean, I think you win and win and win again.
Yes, well played. Great, great smile. Rob, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Well, you can definitely start at HeySummerFriday.com, get a sense of what our agency is and what the people behind it are. And from there, I think you'll fall into a little bit of a rabbit hole, which we would love for you to do.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to Hey Summer Friday in our show notes for this conversation, which you can find at onbrandpodcast.com. Rob, thanks for keeping my ongoing podcast series of Rob's On Brand going.
Amazing. This was so much fun, and I'll help you find another Rob if you need it, anytime you need it.
Awesome, awesome. We will keep this series moving.
On Brand is part of the Marketing Podcast Network. If you like what you're hearing, if we've made you smile, you can always listen free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever your favorite platform may be. And please take a moment and rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Colin Jeffries and Eric Reed host a great podcast called the Rethink Marketing Podcast. Colin, tell us what these fine folks will get out of listening.
Well, Jason, on the Rethink Marketing Podcast, we unpack the myths, misconceptions, and flat-out lies of marketing and sales. Our listeners tell us that we help bring different perspectives to common business growth, wisdom, and advice.
That's great. Where can people subscribe?
They can subscribe at RethinkMarketingPodcast.com or listen on their favorite podcast platform, including MarketingPodcasts.net.
You heard him. Go subscribe.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit MarketingPodcasts.net.